So many roads that ease our troubled soul, the roads that have formed us and led us to this time and place. Throughout my years, I have taken many roads that became trails that led to game trails. And I will always remember my third driving test for the U.S. Forest Service. So every year you had to be certified to drive their vehicles. And on my third year, I hit the jackpot in my mind. I got to drive a brand new Dodge F. It was like a Dodge, like 3/4 ton, dually. I had a fire engine in the back. I had a tank in the back, water tank with 250 gallons. And before we got the tank inserted, my boss is like, all right, it's time to take your drive. I'm like, oh, okay. And he's like, we're going to go see the picture window of Mount Rainier. I was like, all right, never heard of that road. Sure. So we get on my truck, we go out, start driving, and he's leading the way. And we hit on nice, first we start on the very nice Forest Service roads, you know, the ones that are nice and smooth. There's some pockets. And then he's like, take this road. And I look, and I'm like, okay, that's not much of a road. But I took it. I trusted him. I'm like, all right, this truck can go anywhere. Heading up the road, well, it's an old Forest Service logging road. So there's some slash that has been broken down throughout the years. And so I'm going over there. It's like, all right, put it in four low. So, okay, put it in 4 low and kept going up, slowly crawling up this hill with my dually. And hugging, as you know with Forest Service roads, you hug the side because the other side usually just drops straight off. So I'm hugging this side, and like at one point I know one of my back tires isn't even touching ground. And we just keep crawling up this hill that becomes like a game trail. And I'm like, all right, this should be fun. And keep driving up, and we get to the plateau. And it was the most stunning view of Mount Rainier I'd ever seen. Because they had logged it years in the past, and so there was nothing blocking the view. And I was like, oh, this is what it was worth. This journey that we take. At times, we get this most beautiful, breathtaking view, and we just stand in awe of it. And then we realize, that's where the trail is. That's the road that we have to take. And some of our adventures lead to these discoveries, while others that we meander on guide us to the needed nourishment with the plentiful of the delicious huckleberries and wild strawberries that continue to feed us on our journeys. While other times we hit those harmful and dead ends that might be potentially harmful to us. And then we have to put forth that energy to get back on the worn, well-worn track. And sometimes we notice that we are in that we have to do that deciphering, that unraveling of the constant searching for when we feel lost on the path that we're settled on, or the mountain high or the river wide that we have to cross. For on the other side of the hill, we see is the beautiful scenery. And all our pasts get tangled up, and they need to be unraveled to discover the mystery and breathe in the vision of the possibilities it holds for more adventures. At times, my own spiritual journey feels like this rabbit trail that turns into a game trail, and then there's a clearly marked road. But all of them have led to this path to being here today. And each step that I took on my journey, this road, led to new information, new discoveries, new theology that just blew my mind at the openings for these new ways to discover and learn about God. Others have been rabbit trails or even the stumbling upon the dangerous dead ends. As your pastor, I try to steer us through these wind-blown routes and digging into information that we've been given. Sometimes more successfully than others. And the clear trail that I tried to give for others to follow on this journey that God has placed us on together. The layout we're looking at today focuses on one of the keys of our understanding, not only as Lutheran, but as Christians. So the first question is, what sets the map? And it is helpful to understand that most denominations trail from this main pathway set during the Reformation, period between the 1500s and the 1600s. The map used was attributed to Luther's push against the established religions of the time. He primarily focused on the Catholic Church because they were the ruling religion of Germany. And the other church of the time was the Eastern Orthodox Church, which split. There was a split between the Eastern Orthodox and the Western Church back in the early, like, thousands. So Luther, he found himself sorting through the debris that had been leading him up to this path that he was on, and he wanted to take an aerial view of the landscape of what was behind him. What led to this point? And looking back, he noticed that the pathways had become distorted by the distractions of those trying to find a clear way in the relationship and their understanding with God, the Triune Father. Joining with many of his contemporaries of the time who were also struggling within those boundaries established by the church. They too felt like there was more possibilities than this trail they'd been on. So Luther sought to reform, which means something to restore to its pristine character before the removals produced by error and mischief, which for Luther and his contemporaries meant that they wanted to get back to the original pathway set by the early disciples and the founders of the faith, to see where the possibilities might guide them for these next steps. And where Luther focused was on the theological doctrines, so the principles of the justification by faith, or made right by faith, and the importance of the Bible, because at the time the people did not have the Bible written in their language. It was in Latin or German or Hebrew or Aramaic or Greek, I should say. Got into German, sorry. All these G's. And then he also was looking at the sale of indulgences, which he knew was not right. So the indulgences were the monies that would pay for war. So people would go into the church, pay an indulgence, confess to the priest, and receive a forgiveness. And Luther's like, this isn't right. Because they were used to pay for wars, to build the extravagant cathedrals for the priest, pay for their illegitimate children and families, and other excessive expenses that he's like, this just isn't right. So he fought against the power over the common people and their limited access to God's word and the message of salvation freely given to all. And those middle people that he thought were just not needed. So Luther's redirection from the understanding of justification by faith was founded on the doctrine or the theology of Romans 3. Focusing on the justified by God by placing our faith in Christ, not in, by the law. And to Luther, his understanding and interpretation of the gospel, which is the good news of Christ, and the law, which is God had established for all the believers throughout the Old Testament, before Christ came to fulfill it. There was a disconnect, which he would later find a balance between law and gospel. And the redirection came by the free gift of grace that Luther saw had become a rabbit trail of orthodoxy. Otherwise, our beliefs, the beliefs that were created by the established church of the time. And he wanted to get back to that pivot point, to reestablish the trail that was set by Christ. And opening, like I said, more pathways to discover and creating our own relationships with God and experiencing God's love as beloved children. So seeing that Luther's theology was based on Romans 3, it's important to look at what Paul is writing in this letter, who is one of the original disciples who journeyed with Christ. So then the question becomes, what are the circumstances in which he penned the words, or what he wrote the words for? And for Paul, he was tasked with to go for sharing the word of God, which is, you know, Christ in the world. So he set out to go beyond the established church boundaries. So he went into Rome and then the countryside outside of Jerusalem, taking the word to those who were born not only as Roman citizens, But to the Gentiles and the Jews who were hearing Christ's message of the free gift of salvation and justification, and it wasn't just for the selected few. Throughout Paul's letter, he's trying to help guide these newly formed and blended communities throughout the complexities of merging their held beliefs, then reshaping their beliefs and setting the path forward for them to follow. A path that wouldn't diverge but remain faithful to what Christ preached about God's grace, that trails to their gifts of the justification by righteousness, or righteousness in the salvation. So all these are blending together and being lived out in the pardoning of their sins upon their deaths and into eternal life. He's separating out the practice of the covenant or the law given to Moses and pointing to the new covenant that was established and fulfilled through Christ. Paul is not trying to discount the law, but to have it no longer be the focus point. Therefore, he's decommissioning one route, or kind of like just making it a little blurrier, and letting nature overtake it once again. So my final question becomes, so what? For those of us on the path that Luther established, it is important for us to look back at the trail we're on and see where we have come from to have a clearer understanding of where we need to be headed. A clue for us is to remember that we have, like those spotters, out and amongst the debris left by the winds and the fallen trees, pointing us to the truths expressed. And to be reminded that no matter how far we fall or how far we get all discombobulated, that God's grace is more abundant, his forgiveness is always available, and his righteousness is always ours through faith, given freely to us. And Christ is calling on us to live in the light of this incredible grace. Therefore, not allowing ourselves to get on these rabbit trails or these game trails that will distract us. And that we're being encouraged to decipher the information being told to us. Hold it up against the landscape behind us, and with faith that God is with us, navigate through the debris the best we can. To not be afraid to turn around if we find ourselves on this misled path, because we have faith that God is walking beside us to point the way back to the main path. As Lutherans, we have been given keys by Luther, and as Christians, we've been guided by God. And there's numerous opportunities to be equipped to know what Luther has been telling us and told us, and what Paul is speaking to us, and stand up for what we believe. We can even look at the historical and modern day voices that guide and reform us, continual reforming, renewing into whom Christ is calling us to be. Especially when it may seem the opposite of the loud voices around us trying to guide our minds off into the weeds or onto the rabbit trails. So my prayer for us is that as we continue as a community to work together, deciphering God's words and Luther's passion, that we remain open to listening to God calling our names and the clarity needed to see all the places left for us to go forward to on this path. Listening to his words, Luther's words about the world we live in, that we must not despair, but courageously hold fast to the sound doctrine, no matter how much the world condemns and curses it. So my prayer for us is all of this, and that we stay on the road to ease our troubled souls now and forever. Amen.